up ahead on the road. I see myself up ahead on the road. I grumble and fall up ahead on the road. I scream and shout up ahead on the road. I lick my tears of doubt.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there. I was just reading my book. Just reading my book. Welcome. Welcome to You Call That Radio TV. We've got a special treat for you tonight. We have Glasgow legends, the Carlton Jug Band, on the show. And they play regularly. You'll find them at the Clitha, Avant-Garde, and many institutions from Glasgow and beyond. But tomorrow night, they will be playing the SWG3 with their friends, good friends, Alabama 3. So I'm sure they'll be buzzing for that. They've also got a new EP, a new album, and they also run Carlton Studios, which is my favourite rehearsal studio. And as far as I'm concerned, the heartbeat of the local music scene. I think we can go live to Leslie and Barney just now. Okay, let's try. Can we? I think we can. There we are. Hello. How are you doing?
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, good. Good.
Good.
Is he excited? Is he excited, Alabama 3 the morning?
Yeah, very excited. Always excited to play or go and see or do a mojo thing with the Alabama 3.
It's always good times. For people that don't know, so could we, because obviously you just go way back with Alabama 3, and it's always great when they get you on stage or when the infamous after parties, whether they've been at Carlton, the Mojo, they've been at the first one I went to was at the Soundhouse. That was a while back now. That wasn't yesterday. And yeah, there's always a nice wee surprise, even though it happens almost every time, I think, when the Alabama 3 join you for a few tunes as well. But you're actually playing on the same bill. So yeah, can you tell us what's the background of Alabama 3? What's the connection?
So I think, what was the original connection, Barney?
Well, what happened really was we used to have a guy working in the studio, Robert McGinley. He toured with the Bluebells and what have you. He was a keyboards player. And he was friendly with Johnny Mojo, John McManus. And at that time, Robert Brown was getting released from his 25-year tenure in the Nick. And... So Robert was writing with the help of Clover, the band Clover. They were writing they were doing a documentary and they were doing the music anyway, Mark. And so the lot from Mojo came in to visit Robert one night, and that was the start of it, you know, getting involved with Mojo. And when we got involved with Mojo, John McManus was very friendly with Rob and Jake from his time down in London. And they were coming up, you know, just like Rob came up himself. Then another time he came up with Nick, you know, just to, we were doing, Mojo were doing parties in, what's that place?
What, Sound House?
No, long before then.
The Sound House.
And
where was it? I need more clues.
Just near.
Oh, no, welcome to our life. What's the name of that place that we used to go to?
Carnival Arts Centre.
Carnival Arts Centre.
Carnival Arts Centre.
For people that don't know about Mojo, what is Mojo for people that don't know?
Sorry?
So Mojo was set up with Paddy Hill, who was one of the Birmingham Six, wrongly convicted for that bombing. And he set it up, Paddy Hill set it up with John McManus, Miscarriage of Justice organisation, to support people who have been wrongly convicted. And sadly, it's having to still go strong because there are so many wrong convictions people in prison.
Yeah, and the Alabama Three have been massive supporters over the years, Mark, with Mojo. They couldn't possibly do any more, could they?
Yeah, they're great. They've been really supportive. Uh-huh. They've done lots of after-show parties to fundraise for that.
Yeah, I've been to many of them, and it's just like the... Because usually the Alabama Three play the last night of their tour in Glasgow so that they can let loose a little bit. But this time, they're starting their UK tour in Glasgow this time round.
Yeah, we've not got an after-show party.
That's time because it was like a school day. You know,
yeah.
And then...
We'll catch them next time.
Aye. It's not really ideal for madness.
Yeah, it's, they're still early on in the tour. Let them,
need a few years.
They need their sleep.
Yep.
So I thought you were launching a new EP, but you're telling me you're launching a new album as well. So hold on, I think I've got some images here. So I've been here before, so we're starting with the EP, is that right?
Yeah, that's the one. That's my granny and grandpa on the front cover, by the way.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's a great photo, isn't it?
That's a cracker. When was that? Do you know when that was taken, roughly?
Oh, I think it was about the 1920s, the late 1920s, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Were they musical?
My grandpa played the accordion, although I never heard him play it, but he did have a moothie in the house, and my granny used to sing, so there was never any instruments at family parties, it was more just singing, yeah. You know, old style.
Yeah, absolutely, and the EP's out, I think you're waiting on...
We're literally waiting on the guy to knock the door, and I might have to go to get the
That's EP. Right.
Like, we're waiting.
I've been waiting. I thought I'd my books arrived yesterday, but it was a box of crisps. But they haven't arrived.
No.
It wasn't actually crisps. It was just my shopping. I'm after crisps, but I got my books.
It looks a great cover.
Yeah, that's Shona Schuyler did that one.
That's fabulous.
It's back to front. I think it's back to front here. If I mirrored the cam, but yeah, it's good. It's good. I went for a wee walk to try and read it, but I'm too nervous to read it. In case there's any mistakes. So I'm just going to...
There'll be mistakes, but doesn't matter.
I couldn't get a coffee after 2 o'clock in this island, so I just came back home instead, because I don't want to... What I want to do is post it to everybody, and then hopefully get some kind of good feedback, and then I'll read it. Yeah, but I mean, I did write it, so I kind of know what's in it anyway. But this isn't it. It's not all about me. It's about you guys. Right, let's get back on news. So the EP, the guy's going to chap the door any minute. And so fingers crossed you'll have the CDs ready for tomorrow. For anybody who's going to the Alabama 3 gig or thinking about going, is there still tickets available? And what time are you guys going to be on it?
I believe there are tickets still available, some tickets. Mm-hmm. We're on, the doors open at 7 and we're on at 10 past until 20 past because they had to cut our set because they have, there's some disco load-in at 10 o'clock. So the two sport bags have got 20 minutes each. So right. We were doing a rehearsal last night with the stopwatch. They stop them, keep going.
You don't need a stopwatch by now, surely.
We bloody do. We're like, do. There's a lot of faffers in that band. Faff.
I seen you, the most recent time I seen you was, it might have been a year ago. It was the Mojo after party. The Alabama 3 played the Academy.
Yeah.
And then we all went back to the studios and you were on fine form. It was really good. So when the how is this deciding your set list? How did you do that?
Right. Well, we're doing the set list is mainly the original tunes, which is all on the EP, which is a new thing for us because for years we've always played covers. Although I don't like to think of them as covers because I think we usually have a motto for the band, which is never the same twice. So. You know, we basically just played it.
Your interpretation.
So we were doing that for years, interpreting music. And then now I've started writing some tunes and the band are really up for playing them, which is great, and really doing their thing with them and making them really shine. So I'm delighted. So most of the set is from the EP, originals.
Amazing. And so you've got an album as well.
Yes, and that is all.
It's Herd and Cats, which I can relate to. I think I nearly called an album Herd and Cats once many moons ago because they weren't even cats. I don't know what was wrong with my band back then. But I don't think we ever got a band member to turn up. In fact, Barney, this, I don't know if you remember this one, but because obviously I do all the stuff in my band, I'm the manager as well. And one time, I gave the bassist one job, and that was to book the studio. And he booked Carrollton and Dixon Street. And then I phoned you, and you were the best pleaser of me, to put it mildly. Because John had forgot to cancel one of them, so ended up. But I was a bit scared that I'd pissed you off. So I went on STV that night, and then I was like, I respect, because you're like, show me some respect, I think you said. And I was like, the place I respect the most is the Carrollton Studios, I said on the STV.
Oh, did you? We missed that bit.
Did you not see that?
No,
I did. I did a big, I was like, the amount of what Carrollton Studios does for the scene is unreal.
Yeah.
And it's true as well. How long has the Carrollton Studios been a thing?
35 years.
35 years, man. And what has changed?
Nothing.
That's a lie. In what respect?
Well, how does it feel? Because 35 years is a long time to sort of, because obviously you're at the cutting edge of the grassroots scene. So I'm suppose I'm a bit curious. So I've probably been about was 16 years I think we've been playing Lifer. So before that I would just kind of go to gigs and I didn't, you know, all the smoke and mirrors, I didn't really know what was going on. Do you feel like is it harder for bands just now, would you say, or how is it feeling on the ground level? Are you seeing lots of new bands coming through, that kind of thing?
Well, I think over the years, the kind of bands coming through, there's less bands coming through and getting bluttered and no really, they're all kind of quite serious about themselves, Mark, you know, in terms of getting well rehearsed and all the rest of it. And I think that's, but a lot of, because we're cheap and cheerful, we get a lot of young bands coming in and they're really, you know, on the ball, really are. A lot of them.
Yeah. But I think in terms of bands getting gigs, I think it's definitely got harder.
It has got harder. Definitely.
I mean, Barney's, you've been gigging since the 70s, haven't you? So, I mean, you'll have seen a lot of change.
Aye.
In terms of, you're probably still getting the same wage. I think we're still getting the same wage from the 70s.
Yeah.
In the pubs and clubs, you know? In fact, you said better in the 70s.
Of course. Well, it just seems like the price of everything goes up, but payment never goes up. That seems to be the thing. I think there's a famous, somebody told me this, that it's been standard practice when you're supporting a big band, you get a £50 fee. We don't get many of them, to be honest, but we did support a famous band a couple of times, and that's still the case. We got a £50 and invoices for £50, and I think that was back in the 70s. That was it's a standard. Of course, we weren't complaining because we got to play with, you know, a really good band, and I'm going to take that back. But it just seems like, yeah, the payment never goes up. What are you going to do? We were just, you know, we just put our tickets on for our last gig yesterday, and trying to price it is difficult because people are skint.
Yeah.
So the ticket, when we started, I think it was a £5 a ticket. Mm-hmm. And we only went up to a £10 about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we were kind of creeping up to £15. But you're just worried that what it actually cost compared to 2008, it's a £20 ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't want to do that. It's tough, isn't it?
I know. It's a tough life in the music world. You just got to have the passion to keep going, really, isn't it? That's what keeps you going. It's certainly not the money.
I mean, for instance, Mark, now you play a lot of festivals.
Yeah.
Right. So what kind of money do you get off the festivals?
Oh, you have to pay you. What they're meant to pay you or what they actually pay you. Festivals, we're quite lucky that we normally get, we have a price that we ask for, and they have a price that they offer us, and we usually meet somewhere in the middle. And for me personally, I love playing festivals. Usually love playing festivals. So it's, if you can get, you know, your friend or your partner in, you're getting a few people in the guest day, and you go home with some money in your pocket, then you've had a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly not, I would say that we get paid enough, you know what, it doesn't cost you anything to go to the festival and have a good time. You know, you'll get your food and your drinks covered. It's really hard to, you're not spending any money, if that makes sense. But you're not coming back. You're not stacking cash.
No.
We pretty much played every weekend, but you're not.
You're going for the good time, aren't you?
You're going for the good time, but I'm getting older now, so my good times are trying to change. You know, I'm on the winter water. I'm on the chai tea.
Very good. Very good.
And man, I think that, although you don't need alcohol to have a good time. But the way that I used to do festivals was after the gig, having fun.
Yeah.
So it's a wee bit of a different experience when you're doing that. Like, the weather matters more when you're sober, I find.
Yeah, because you notice it. Yeah.
Rather than just diving about the mud with rain pelting off your face, having a good time.
Yeah, not giving a damn. Yeah, it's a whole new experience when you're sober. Yep.
But also the festivals are struggling. So it's not like, I think there's a misconception that the festivals themselves are just making loads of money. And that's
it's hard to make money and at the festivals as well. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. The only people I think that do all right is maybe the bookers for the big bands.
Yeah.
They seem all right. But festival wise, you nearly played Aaron Wee Solar Fest, but obviously, do you mind talking about that, Barney, why you didn't play Wee Solar Fest?
We're talking about, because we nearly played the festival that Mark was organising in Aaron, And we were all booked to come and jump.
Aye, we were all booked. And then...
But then... Dun, dun, dun.
Aye, what was that?
What happened? You got your bloody leg off.
Why, my leg? I got my leg off.
He's forgot. Just a wee minor issue.
Aye. You were apologising. I'm so sorry I can't make it. I was like, don't worry. It's Burnley okay? And then... Yeah. But you're Burnley, you were playing. You had your leg off and then you... went and played a gig the following
week. Well, he did three gigs. He got out of hospital, Mark, on the Wednesday, and then on Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday, he did three gigs over the weekend in his wheelchair. But yeah, that was the big carrot, wasn't it? To get out and get going and just get back into music and, yeah.
Did you not want to take a break, Barney? Did you not feel like taking a break at all?
What's that?
He's asking, did you not fancy taking a break? I mean,
nah.
He felt the break was in the hospital when they had the operation. Aye. That was enough break for him. That was it.
Aye, definitely.
Have you got a regular? Because obviously, you always seem to be playing every weekend. Is there a rhyme or reason to it, or is there a specific day like that?
We've got a residency in Avant Garde in King Street in the Merchant City. So that's
First Friday of the month. For people that don't know where Avant Garde, it's just next door to the old 13th Note.
Yep, that's the one right next door. It's a lovely venue. It's got a nice stage and it's got a nice dance floor, does nice food. So yeah, it's a nice place to play.
I do a lot of stuff in the Scotia and
the Clutha.
And the Clutha, Mark. So
yeah.
Is there a... So Avant Garde, first Saturday of the month?
First Friday.
Sorry.
So this Friday coming up.
Is it a Friday night? Because the Clutha stuff and the Scotia stuff seems to be usually during the sort of late afternoon time, which I love.
Well, it kind of varies. So the Avant Garde's a half eight, start till 11 on the Friday, first Friday. When we play the Clutha, it's usually a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, so it's like 2:30.
So we just played a gig there. Saturday there was really fun. It was packed to sardines. It was really fun. And then the Scotia gigs that we've started to be doing the last while is sometimes on a Friday night at 9:30. And that was really fun as well on Friday night. It was a whole load of young. It doesn't take much to feel like it's crammed in the Scotia in that space. You know, the band itself makes the place busy, you know, in that wee corner. but we had some young ones that were really digging the old tunes. And, it was really fun. It was really fun on Friday night. Because I always feel like those Friday night gigs, you know, we come 9:30 a Friday, I'm like, I just want to put my feet up. I just want to watch the telly. I just want to go to my bed. I want to go and do a gig. I can't be bothered. And then when I get there, I'm like, yeah! There's loads of young ones jumping about really digging it, you know. So, so it's usually fun on a Friday night in Scotia.
And the daytime ones, so I've caught you a few times just in the Clutha. I don't know what time of day is it, maybe like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something like that.
Half two.
I think more places should do that. It's just so nice to have an afternoon live music.
Yeah, it's a really popular time, and you get all the different. Yeah. You get all the old gens like us, you know, who are happier to be out at that time, and then you get the young ones who are just starting to go out. So you catch that generation as well. So, that's my preferred time to play actually.
Yeah, and actually later night stuff, Mark, especially in the weekend. So, like loads of people can't get a bus home and things like that.
Yeah,
so
practical
that kind
reasons.
Of
cuts
reasons.
It back a wee bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've got a video here that you sent me, Leslie. You sent me a few. So, and I think they're all variations. So I'm not sure exactly what one I've got here, but let me just check. Hold on. Okay, so let me...
So that's a clip, I think.
Yeah, so this is... how long is this? Oh, it's three minutes. Well, let's just listen to a song.
Right, cool. I've been here before.
Okay, well, do you want to give us an introduction? What are we about to watch?
Okay, so this is the titular song from the album, I've Been Here Before. It's about being in a familiar place that you really it's a positive thing. But it could be about deja vu, or it could be about the afterlife, the incarnation, whatever you want it to be about. It's I've been here before.
Amazing. Let's go.
This house or this street, this castle, cave or this beach, but I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before. Got a bucket full of feelings, makes my heart sore. Persuading that I ain't so bad myself. Cause life is tough enough and I don't want to miss the bus or be left up on the shelf. Cause I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before. Got a bucket full of feelings, makes my heart sore. Leave my worries behind. Cause I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before.
Fantastic. Off the new album.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Yeah, that's the EP, the one of the original tunes from the EP. I just want to give a big shout out to Becky Wallace, who has helped me refine my songwriting skills. That song was actually written on a Songseed residential.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, Becky's yeah. Becky's brilliant.
Yeah, I love Becky. I've been doing some songwriting with her, yeah.
I've never been to the Songseeds retreat. I really want to go, but there's been, because there's so many great artists have went there and became greater.
Yeah.
And they always talk about it, because it's something I've never done. Because obviously I write a lot, but it's usually quite a solitary thing. So yeah. I think I would quite enjoy it. I've done a couple of workshops where I've been helping sort of people that are maybe quite new to writing. I enjoy that, but usually I've been the kind of sort of facilitator or whatever, yeah. So it'd be quite good to just go and do that. Where was the retreat?
Well, I've been on quite a few, and they're always in beautiful locations across Scotland. Becky's fabulous at finding old mansions, estates with great rambling gardens, etc. So that one was in near Whithorn, the Dumfries and Galloway, I think, when I wrote that. Because actually, I remember the caves. We went for a walk, me and my friend, one of my buddies that I'd met there, went a wee walk to Whithorn, the beach. And that's where St Ninian's Cave is, which famously is, I think, the last scene in The Wicker Man. Right. You know, when they're sacrificing the policeman. So, yeah, so that's the cave. And that's where I started to write that song. And I'd written the first verse. And we stopped for a cup of tea. My pal had brought her, she was all organised with her flask and her tea bags. So I'd written a verse and we're having our tea. And she takes out her pocket three different tea bags, and it's these ones that have got different names on it, and it literally said peace, love, and happiness. That was the tea. And I said, I'm having that for the second verse. I've got peace, love, and happiness in my pocket. A well full of wisdom, please don't mock it. So that's how the second verse came about, was the peace, love, and happiness tea outside St Ninian's Cave at Whithorn, you know.
Was that this year? This one?
That was, that might have been even 2 years ago.
Oh, right, okay. Because I know that they were in... I know that they were in the Dumfries and Galloway area this year, but I was, and funnily enough, I was only like a, I was in the area, I was in the hills. It was a big storm. But
yeah, it's really windy. Yeah.
I was in a caravan in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was good though. I liked it. That's why I was thinking, I'm definitely up for more rural. Being more rural, it's good. I could like it.
It's great.
So with the writing process, I'm quite surprised that you said that you, it's sort of, because I seen you do poetry a few years ago, and it blew me away how good it was. I mean, I don't know if you find, I don't know why I put you in the spot, but do you want to do some poetry?
Just now?
Have you got anything?
Yeah, I could do some poetry.
Because I found it really well crafted and well written, so it kind of surprises me that you've not been doing it longer. Are you saying that you started doing it later on?
Well, I was involved. I've been involved in creative writing for about 15. I've lost track. 15, 20 years actually. I was involved with Lapidus, Scotland. I was on that committee for a long time, and they're about using creative writing for your mental health. And as you'll know, it's all about your mental health, isn't it? You write a song and you feel better. It's therapy, you know.
100%.
So that's what I find the same for with poetry. So I've been involved with Lapidus, and I met a lot of amazing writers and ran poetry tents at festivals and creative writing workshops for a long time. And it was only during lockdown that I started to put my own stuff out to the world. And there was a competition by the Glasgow Women's Library, and they were doing their first Cam Slam, digital Cam Slam. And I put in three little videos, and I set up, I thought, I'm just going to make this. I had one of these wee, you know, those puppet things for kids, but it's just like a wee tiny velvet, the velvet cover, what am I trying to say, like a stage, you know. And so I put my head around it. So that was how I made my poetry film, basically, just me and my head. And I put three poems in like that, and I became runner-up. I was one of the runner-up for that. And that kind of launched me into, I was like, oh, right, so somebody thinks I'm quite good at this. So then I started putting out to all different anthologies and other competitions, and I've done really well since then, and got my first debut book out last year.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, so I've been doing
it. It was just recently that you decided to bring your writing into the Carrot and Jug Band then. So that was why I was confused.
Right, yeah. Amazing. That's it.
I was going to say, there's no way that you flipped that recently, because it was so good. So I feel free to do a poem. I know that I put on the spot. We didn't plan this. But...
No planned one, right. Well, I'll do, I know it's past Halloween, but it's in my brain, so hopefully I'll remember it. So this is called Witches. There are witches who are good and witches who are bad. Witches who are small and witches who are mad. There are witches with big snitches, and witches who wear breeches, and witches with twitches, and witches who are sad. There are witches who will bubble, and witches who have stubble. There are witches and stitches get us all into trouble. There are witches who make spells, and witches who make smells. There are witches hang you from a hook, chop your fingers into pieces for her human broth soup. There are witches with two faces. There are witches with big braces. There are witches who can get you into very swanky places. But mostly, there are witches who will clap and cheer, invite you out for a beer, help you face your inner fears, wipe away your lonesome tears with an aviation career. No need for a cauldron broom or hat, just a sisterly chat. And for sure your heart will sing with a jolly big swing, fill you up to the brim with a mickety muckle grin to the moon and back. There are witches, there are witches, there are witches.
Amazing. Well done, Leslie.
Way.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that's my witchy poem.
It feels like it's been witchy season since lockdown. Have you noticed this? Am I just imagining it? But there's just lots of witch-themed type art. Very good art. It's getting made, isn't it?
Yeah, I think women are reclaiming the witch thing. And of course, with the whole pardon, you know, trying to get the pardon for women who were obviously wrongly murdered, slaughtered, burnt to the stake for being alleged witches. You know, so that, you know, the whole campaign for the pardon of that has brought it to the fore, I think, as well as women just reclaiming their witchiness.
and it's also, it's wild how recent that stuff was, because obviously I think we maybe brushed over it at school that this did happen. But then when you see the dates, and I think, I mean, am I right in saying Scotland, was a place in Scotland, the last witch or something?
Yeah, well, we were the top persecutors in Europe. I know that much. I can't remember how many thousands were killed. But yeah, it was probably the last witch as well. Can't remember the year.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know the year, but I remember it blew my mind. I was like, wow, that's so recent. We're just going to read some comments. We are live and interactive on You Call That Radio. Unless you listen to the podcast in the future, then you can't ask a question. But I'll just say, Ali Grants, hello, Ali. Hello, Lou. And Myrid says, oi, this is already such a lovely interview. I had a gut feeling it would be Leslie and Barney both come across as two absolutely sound heads. All the way from Donegal. That's it.
Oh,
really? Really nice. Fantastic singer from a band called formerly of Blackbird and Crow. And yeah, she's quite witchy too.
That's a good name.
She reclaims her witchiness. I think you'd love the tunes, Leslie. Check them out.
I'm gonna.
Is Stuart saying my favourite gigs were at Carlton Studios? Yeah, Stuart was at You Call That Radio gig we did at Carlton. That was a fun day with the gyros. Just after we came back from Mexico.
Yeah, that was a great gig.
We had a little jam outside, but it was starting to get a bit loud, and then so we moved it inside. Sevka in the wee room was brilliant.
Oh, Sevka. She's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, what a voice she's got. Yeah, that was amazing. Beautiful. And Ernesto.
Yeah. It was all good. Yeah, it was all good that night. Really good.
We should do it again. We should definitely do it again sometime.
Yeah,
if you're up for it.
Yep.
Is it a pain in the arse though doing those things, Barney, Leslie, wake
you say? It's a bit like that Scotia gig, you know, where like I'm like, oh, I just want to go in my bed. And then when you do it, you're like, yeah, this is great. Apart from when it gets to like 5 a.m, you're like, can you just go home now? I've had enough.
Yeah. I don't know how late we went on, but I did. I was like, just be clear with me. Don't be subtle with me. If it's time to wrap up, just tell me to fuck off.
Yeah, I'm not shy about chucking people out.
Good. I don't mind getting told to fuck off. It's like, all right, it's that time. But I will just continue. Also, the video. Lou wanted to talk about your video, said, love the video, it's magic. And Stuart also said, that is beautiful. And Marion Nisbet, hello Marion.
Hi Marion.
Is giving you the star cool piece emoji and yes, witches, wow, a heart, Leslie from Donegal.
The video was a wee last minute affair that I just rumbled up the other day. I suddenly realized, I thought, how am I going to get a video? I need to make a video, and then thought, I just use all the stuff that's in my computer.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the herd and cats thing, you know, how am I going to get them all together? What are we going to do? I'll need a story. And I thought, no. Make it easy on yourself. Just use what you've got. So I got my nephew, who's much easier at these, better at these things than me. And so we did it together and just clipped together. I don't know if you noticed Mary Kiani was in one. You probably never, but Mary Kiani was in one of the clips.
Yeah.
I know that she's been interviewed on this a couple of times.
She's been here, she's been on the show twice. And the first time I couldn't believe it was like eight in the morning for her.
Yeah.
And she was just, all the energy.
Yeah, I know.
Live from Australia with all the energy. In fact, I need to go back to that because she did me a jingle. She did, you know, that famous voicer. She did when, you call that radio. You
know, brilliant.
For anyone that doesn't know, TTF, Mary Kiani, the voice of a voice of the rave culture, really.
Yeah, I
definitely need to go back and clip that.
She's non-stop, isn't she?
Yeah,
honestly.
We're big fans of Mary. We're good friends of Mary for a long
non-stop.
Time. Yeah. But yeah, she came one of the times. So that the clip and the video is what was that pub we played in Partick?
Quarter Jill.
We had a residency in the Quarter Jill in Partick for a couple of years until we got bombed out for the karaoke. But obviously it's cheaper for the karaoke. Not that they were paying us megabucks, of course, but they can make more money on the karaoke. But anyway, she came one of the times we played there and she did backing vocals, I remember, to Hound Dog. So that's what that wee clip is. Oh, her amazing. And my friend Jenny doing superb backing vocals to Hound Dog.
Wow, Mary Kiani's a backing vocalist. That is a claim to fame. What since we're in the name drop, we're in the name drop section.
Yeah, do that.
Let's keep the name drops going. Who's been through the gates of Carlton Studios? The gates. Yeah, there is gates. There is gates in Carlton Studios.
Yeah, there's gates. Who's been through the gates? We have to do some name dropping here.
Over the years. Oh. Well, I know this is years ago, Mark, and I got a phone call from the BBC. It was a woman in the BBC asking me if she'd heard a rumour that Green Day had been rehearsing in the studio. And I couldn't tell her because, see, when people book up, they just book up by their name.
Yeah.
And if they're American, you think, oh, just American guys. We never put the names to the bands. In fact, we had, it was Billy that does the load-ins and all that, and the sound at the Hydro, Billy Coyle.
Yes, of course, Billy. No, Billy well.
He recommended the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers to come along. He does his own kind of videos, for throwing sticks up and drumming and all this. And we didn't know this, but the guy that came in, we were looking at him going like, he looks kind of familiar, but didn't ever dawn on us who it was until afterwards we found out. So,
story,
I couldn't really tell you.
The story, the one, I don't know, most of your viewers won't know who this is, but mind the story you told me about Callum Kennedy. You know, an old Scottish singer, Callum Kennedy.
Aye.
My granny used to sing, I can sing like Callum Kennedy, so can you and so can anybody. That was actually one of, anyway, he was a really good Scottish, like traditional Scottish stuff. But he phoned you up, you didn't realise who he was.
I was looking for some recording time, and I can't remember it. It was something like I was asking how long it would take to do. I said, "Well, you probably need a day," and he said, "Oh, don't be so bloody daft! I could record about 16 songs in that time." And it was Callum Kennedy.
It was Callum Kennedy, and I think he did come in and record 16 songs, probably in a bit. unlike the bands of today, it takes all bloody day.
well, that's a good point, because obviously I've actually never recorded in Carrollton. I do. Obviously, it's a number one rehearsal studio. That's where we always rehearse. But I definitely want to come up and do some recording there. In fact, I did do. I recorded
some. Did you come in anytime, Mark?
I did. I recorded with Colonel Mustard and the Dijon Five once. I did a song with him. And I feel like Jake was there. I might be neat to check with John, but I feel like Jake was involved somehow. I don't know if he was recording a vocal or he was just there. But
Jake Black?
Jake Black.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Alabama. Yeah, I think he's
done a few things.
There a few times for that, yeah.
And of course, you've got Mince for the Fratellis, so most people know the Fratellis, who actually plays with your band as well.
Yeah.
So you had Mince for the Fratellis and Mary Keane in the same...
Yeah, that's her backup. I mean, Mitch Patel is her backup drummer. How lucky is that?
I know.
He's in the video as well. He's in the video.
He's an absolute fashion guy. He's very humble.
Well, he works very hard in the drums.
Every single time,
because we don't rehearse that much, as you can probably tell, but every time we go in for a rehearsal, go out for a smoke or I'm on the vape now, but you go out for your fresh air anyway. You've got that lovely garden that Jenny Tingle's done a great job of.
Yes.
Congrats to Jenny. And every single time, Mince is there. He puts
in the hours.
Yeah.
Every day. Yeah, he's always there. Yeah, he's really committed. Yeah.
I know. I mean, with loads of people come in recording and he's stood in. He's done bits of drumming for them. Doesn't ask for anything.
Yeah.
Does it? He's just a great guy.
He's playing the tambourine in our EP. He was passing the room when we were recording, and so we got him on the tambourine.
So if anyone is looking for a rehearsal studio or a recording studio, Carrollton's got both. He's also do... But if you're not a musician and you want to check it out, you've got the famous cafe is there as well, which is amazing. It's such a joy to have a cafe attached to the studio in case you're wanting to grab a wee roll.
Yeah, the cafe's there. There's drum tuition by the fabulous...
Thomas Sutherland. And Ewan from the band Dead Pony.
Oh, wow. They're doing great. They're doing brilliant just now.
He does tuition there as well.
And Gareth from the Jug Band is also teaching guitar. We've also got a fiddle tutor as well. There's a tuition room you can hire if you're a tutor looking for a place to teach. It's a big space. People don't realise. They're surprised when they first come in. You know, it's like, oh, this is like a TARDIS. You know, they don't realise it stretches all the way back, you know. So,
It's also the I don't know if you're still doing it, but what I thought was a lovely touch was when you had the special offer for solo artists to just come in.
That's still on the solo. The solo, what's that again, Bernie? How much is that again? That's really cheap.
It's £5 an hour.
£5 an hour if you're a solo artist. A lot of drummers come in and use it, you know, and get their practice hours in. So, but you come in and just sing or do whatever, you know.
Yeah, I did that a couple of times I was putting on some backing tracks, Jack of Trades, and just running over set. I'll probably be doing that again because to promote the book, I'm going to do some spoken word, but I'm out of practice. And I can't do it in the house. It feels weird in the house, but something about going to a studio and plugging a microphone in and you can play to the imaginary audience in your head.
Yep, in a darkened room. That's a place to do that. Get your rehearsals. Yep.
Stuart says, I'm not going to name drop. Right, okay. Let's get to the bottom of this. Stuart claims, and I don't say claims like, I did say it with that, didn't I? But Stuart claims that at the gig, the Carrollton Studios gig that we played it, you call that radio, Gyro Baby, Surfcat, all that stuff. He says that the guy from Westlife was there. True or false?
I have no idea.
Could have been. Well, see, where we have the tuition room now, Mark. That was the offices of the band 911. You know how British number ones.
And, I remember it.
That was their management team were based in there.
Right.
So
I don't know. It could have been there actually.
Yeah.
There was, that's ringing a vague bell.
So the guy from Westlife, is he went, did he go, he maybe just went to the Alabama 3 gig and then, or he heard the music from the boy band offices.
Aye.
So there you go, the guy from Westlife, there you go, Stuart, maybe it did
maybe,
happen.
Maybe.
I wasn't sure. Yeah. I thought he was maybe mistaken, but shows you what I know. Maybe Westlife were watching the Gyros in Carrollton. it could have been. So what, yeah. Okay, so we've got to go, okay, we've done it, we've asked us, that's flown in, that's an hour. So I'm going to start wrapping it up here, but we've got the EP. I've been here before, which will arrive hopefully in time for the gig tomorrow.
Yes,
you are supporting the phenomenal Alabama 3. Tickets still available, although get there early because it usually sells out. And you guys are on at 7:10. So if you've already got a ticket for Alabama 3, make sure you get there early.
Yeah, we're on 7:10 to 12:30. 20 minutes. We're aiming for five tunes in 20 minutes. So, yeah.
And don't go going home for your dinner. Just bring a packed lunch.
and don't worry. There's no Mojo after party this time. So you'll be home, your baffies and your bottle by 11 o'clock. It'll be fine.
It's all going to be sensible stuff.
You're going to be... I was going to say, because Mark, our guitarist, he works at the Poetry Club. So I was seeing if we could maybe do an after party there, but I need to stay in the mainland. I need to stay. I need to be good. So there's no after party. You're safe.
No, I know. There's no music.
Enjoy the music. Go home and get some sleep.
Yeah.
And then Herd and Catch. So when's this coming out?
Well, we're hoping it's going to arrive tomorrow or tonight. Well, tonight was what we were promised. We're still waiting for that knock on the door. But we'll probably have a wee gig to launch it. Maybe an avant-garde, but we're hoping it's going to arrive. If it all goes to plan, we're going to sell them tomorrow at SWG3. So come and talk to us, and we'll sell you one of our fabulous CDs, hot off the press.
Amazing. And are you going to do? What do you make of the streaming platforms and stuff? Are you going to, do people need to buy it on CD? Or are you going to upload it to things?
Well, the EP one, I'm going to upload that in the new year. So that'll be available. The other one's a bit more complicated with the copyright. I'll maybe eventually put that up once I figure that out.
We've got the, don't know about the guy from Westlife, but the guy from Snow Patrol is my best friend. That's Wee Eddie. Shouts Wee Eddie. He was at the Mojo party last time, and he's quoting a very old Gyro Babies tune, and no Barney jokes. I think we should have a Barney joke. Can we have a joke? Can we
Barney?
Oh, Alexis.
Barney, you're allowed a joke.
Give you a joke.
Yeah.
Are you sure about this one?
Yeah.
Caught me.
Yeah, you've caught me unawares. What was the last one you told in the Clutha or the avant-garde? Somebody gave him a book to write down his jokes, and of course we lost the book. But
they're all a bit rude, mind you, Mark.
That's all right, mate. Don't worry about that. You could be as rude as you like.
He doesn't care. It's not.
We're not on off call. Yeah. Don't really worry about it.
Oh, geez, oh.
He's went blankety blank because you've
been in the spot. I know.
Sorry, I put you in the spot. I'm sorry I put you in the spot for your poetry and I put you in the spot for your comedy. I'm going to go. Do you know what I'm going to do? We'll end the show with one more song. Once I can, I'm going to upload it just now. You sent me two tracks and we started with Up Ahead on the Road. Can you just talk about what that song at the beginning everyone heard? Tell us about that one while I upload this.
Up Ahead on the Road. Yeah, that one, it's a track. It's a friend of mine, Simon Vandervelt, is on the trumpet on that. He plays really amazing trumpet. It's got a kind of spaghetti western vibe, I think, that song. But it's about, it's really dedicated for people who are going through a hard time. And it's imagining that, you know, you'll get through that hard time and come out the other end. So it's quite a kind of uplifting tune in the end. May I be well, may I be happy, may I be free from all my troubles. So it's got a, a Buddhist meditation in the middle of it. Yeah.
And I've got, now I've got Cowgirls. I've uploaded that.
Cowgirls got the blues.
Stay at the end of the show. So, but also, when is, if people can't make Alabama 3 tomorrow, what's the next avant-garde or Clitha or whatever?
Next gig, avant-garde, this Friday.
Friday.
Yep. And so this tune, Cowgirls Got the Blues, actually I wrote this a long time ago, about 20 years ago, based on a little children's story that I wrote. I'll dedicate it to my niece Megan, because she was a little cowgirl in the story that got the blues. And I was just trying to, it's a long story, I won't go into it just now, but yeah, it's the song and the story that got me into storytelling, because I wrote a wee children's story around that called The Adventures of Molly the Merc, and this is one of the tunes from it. So I'll dedicate it to Megan, who was the cowgirl with the blues.
Amazing. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you, Barney. I hope the gig goes amazing tomorrow.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank
and
you.
I'll be back in the mainland over Christmas, so hopefully...
Where are you?
An undisclosed location.
Mystery Island.
Mystery Island, yeah.
Mystery Island, I like Mystery. It. Mystery Island disc. You should start that.
So, Cowgirls is coming on the now, and thank you, Leslie, thank Barney.
You. Thank you, Mark.
We Alabama 3.
Thanks for your hard work for music. Thank you, Mark.
All the best, guys. Bye.
Bye.
But and we're now going to listen to Cowgirls from the new album. Thank you to the patrons who support the show, and enjoy the Carolyn Jump Band.
Blue, blue. Cowgirls got the blues. Time to run. Looking for fun. With my clippity-clop on the rock. With my clippity-clop, clippity-clop on the rock. Rain is leaving today. Rain is leaving today. Clickety-clack on the track. With the clickety-clack, clickety-clack on the track.
That was Cowgirls, my Carlton drug band.
Cowgirls got the blues. Cowgirls got the blues. On the run.
Thank you very much to Barney and Leslie. I have to say that Sharon says, tell Leslie and Barney I'm watching from Los Angeles. Ray, the brass player, says, they're fun. What an amazing couple, says Stuart. My dad says, gorgeous couple, gorgeous interview. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in. Alexis says, such a lovely interview. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in. We will be back on Monday with an interview with Vagrant Real Estate, who's an amazing producer from the Highlands, who's put together sort of hip-hop beats with a mixture of folk, trad, musicians, and also some great MCs as well. People like Mog are on it, Jackal's on there as well. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be on Monday. So we'll be back on Monday night. I'll hopefully see you there. And add the Carlton Jug Band on Facebook is the best place to get them. I'll put the link in the comments. So if you give them a wee like and a follow on Facebook, that'll be great. I'll put it in the comments here. So give the Carlton Jug Band a follow. Keep an eye out for the EP. And if you're going to Alabama 3 tomorrow, get there early. And I hope you enjoy it. Thank you to Leslie and Barney. Bye!